We heard him say, follow. And we took a step. Then several more, carefully choosing our movement so that we could place our feet right where he was walking ahead of us. Perhaps we're going to the city, that place of life and light and new beginnings. Didn't we hear him talk about it? The place where the meek would inherit and the hungry would be satisfied. Surely that's where we're going. We can see the lights of the city in the distance, and our spirits lift. Then for no apparent reason, he turns and begins to walk another direction. We hesitate for a moment, then we stumble to catch up. He's walking away, down, down, into the shadows. Where are we going? We ask nervously. Do you really know your way? If you keep on this path, you'll end up in the desert, a place of dust and the ashes of countless fires and unknown dangers. We want to follow, but you're not doing a very good job of leading, you know. With each step, you're taking us into the wilderness. We wanted to go to the city, the place you told us about, the place you promised. Then he turned and, with what looked like sorrow about his face, said, you are not ready for the city. This is the only road that will enter its gates. Follow me. And so here we are, entering a season and a path that we have not sought, but that is part of our journey to life. It's true that we're not ready to enter the place of promise. We're consumed with ourselves, our desires, and the many things we do to keep the attention on what we want out of life. We wander. We protest, we disobey, we wallow in the worship of our little selves. And over time, we've lost our ability to even feel our distance from God. We're become hard, invulnerable, and we believe we can manage on our own indefinitely. Of course, we can't. We won't. The prophet Joel calls the people to wake up because the day of the Lord is coming, and it's not far off. It's a day of judgment. Of reckoning, a time that no one would want to experience, a day when God turns against his own people in order to save them from ultimate doom. In the face of this divine onslaught, the Lord keeps calling, pleading, even now return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. This God that comes with judgment is ready, even at the last, to offer mercy and blessing. To give life in the place of desolation, as the wayward come to know inward repentance and feel their hearts beat and long again for the goodness of the Lord. So we take the sign of our mortality on our foreheads, a sign that's already hidden in every cell of our bodies, that declares we can't keep going on forever like this. We're ultimately powerless to find our own way to the city, and every self-turned step takes us further afield and farther away. With ashes on our faces, we turn to follow anew tonight, even into the desert of utter dependence on God, who promises to lead us well, to lead us to reconciliation, to hope and life. Ash Wednesday is heavy. I mean, you knew that when you walked in tonight, the smell of smoke, the fire outside. It's heavy tonight with the weight of our self-centeredness and pride and sin. But it's not a deep well into which we're thrown and forgotten, but a door through which we enter a path that will emerge on the other side of the desert. Though we enter with sorrow and perhaps even fear, we follow the Lord to the place of life, the place of glory, the place of the cross and the resurrection. And as we feel the grit of the ashes, we smell God's purifying fire, we also catch a whiff of the coals in whose glow Peter denied him. And we wonder if we have the strength to be true if he did not. Today, probably not. We struggle just to hold things together. But of course, in the end, Peter himself emerged from the desert into joy, faithfulness, and restoration. He knew himself to be loved, and that's our hope today as well. We think of Ukraine, we think of Syria, we think of Central Africa, of strife and corruption and violence in our own nation and neighborhoods and families and friendships. It's overwhelming. There's so much that is just not as it should be. We wonder where to begin. Then we look in the mirror and see the place of beginning. It's with me. We begin with us. To walk the Lenten journey, we have some work to do. We have some things to face. We must be honest about the state of our hearts, our inner thoughts and actions, how powerless we are and have been to change them. The desert place of Lent has many pitfalls and dangers, but also streams of life. Only the mercy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in response to confession and repentance can lead us through. It's here that we can navigate the unknown of our own hearts and receive the peace of God's comfort and consolation, who, as the psalmist affirms, has removed our sins far from us. In the end, God is greater than our hearts. Several years ago in Norfolk, Virginia, a fire broke out in a family's home. And trapped inside were two women, an infant, and two small children. The only way to safety was through the flames. As they were led out through the fire, a four-year-old girl just panicked and turned and ran back upstairs. She was terrified of the flames and the oppressive heat, and she sought the only space that she knew to be safe for her own bedroom. And while the flames hadn't yet reached that part, the house was filled with smoke, and she was trapped. When rescuers finally reached her, she had succumbed to the fire. A terrible tragedy. A little girl paralyzed with fear, not understanding that the only way to safety was through the fire itself. As we enter this season of Lent, we seek the courage and the power of God to face the desert of our own sin and our self-oriented lives. We want to be made new, but are often fearful of the path. After all, this isn't a work just on the surface. This is a deep work at the foundation of our lives, of who we are and who we will be. But we needn't be fearful. We need not be filled with dread. Thomas Merton reflected that deep dread is a gift from God, for it's the precise point of our encounter with his fullness. So in the desert, on the way to the life-bound city, we can be reborn and renewed. Following the one who carries the cross, we will face death in order to put on life. We will be made ready. Amen.